I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
Curry steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point!
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus. Plus
minus, plus minus. Hello and welcome to a late night edition of the Warriors Plus Minus podcast. Steph Curry didn't talk till 12:40 p.m. local time. Marcus Thompson and Tim Kawakami are with me. It is 12:57 p.m. local time.
We still got it right. All of us still got it right. So we got a late night coming.
Yeah, which, you know, is part of the 8:30 thing. They were also lounging postgame. They're staying over. But Warriors lose. Warriors not only lose the game, they lose Jimmy Butler to a nasty fall, which this is the third pelvic contusion they've had in the last, like, month. Jonathan Kuminga and Steph Curry had one. He early in the game, undercut on a rebound by Amen Thompson, goes down, misses the rest of the game. His status moving forward will obviously be a huge storyline, but they lost the game when he fell down.
Yeah, and Przemski was sick. So as Steph mentioned, they both, you know, you add them up, the minutes total was very low, and Przemski came back in, tried to go, he was sick, and it just wasn't there for him. So it almost was amazing they stayed in the game as long as they did. They got Pat Spencer playing, you know, leading them and scoring for a while. You got, you know, Guy Santos being important. All these other guys are out there. Jonathan Kuminga, which we will talk about, obviously. But, you know, they were they're under-talented against matched up against the Rockets anyway. They have the superstars, and then one of the superstars was out there going to be way, way under-talented. So this kind of was a write-off game, and now we see if Jimmy Butler can play on Game 3.
Marcus?
Yeah, they got a bit rattled. Not necessarily, maybe rattled's not the right word. They kind of – everything has been so set up around Jimmy, all the rotations, the scheme. So losing Jimmy, it kept saying it just messed everything up. It messed up the rotations. It messed up their goal on offense and what they wanted to do. It took them a while to find something. But it just goes to show Jimmy is central to this. And especially once he goes, you see how teams guard Steph. So you're relying on a bunch of guys who are suddenly in a different position, in a different role, and a role they haven't been in since, what, February 8th? So they were discombobulated after that Jimmy injury. And you could just hear a couple guys kept bringing it up. Like I said, after we lost Jimmy, we just kind of lost our way a bit. That's now maybe in Game 3, if they know he's out, now you can kind of figure out a game plan where everybody should be. But they wasn't able to do it on the fly, which makes it a little bit impressive. They probably still could have won this game if they do a couple more things right at the right time.
Green doesn't go for, what, 34 or whatever?
38.
38, yeah. I mean, that was kind of a you kind of average out his terrible first game with his great second game, and, you know, that's Jalen Green. But they got the good Jalen Green in a night where they didn't have a lot that they could counter with it. So they lose. They were probably going to lose this game anyway, even with Jimmy. I mean, they had a much better shot to win it if he was there, but this feels like this is going to be a long series. It felt that way after they win game one. They thought they could be short if they win game two, but most likely they were going to lose this game. Now they got to defend their home court and try to go up 3-1, come back here and for maybe take care of it 5 or 6. Houston's still pretty good. They've got tons of talent, and the Warriors need to be at their best to beat them. They were really good in game one, and they have Jimmy Butler in game two. That is a huge difference.
It was kind of a tense scene during the second quarter as, like, all of their trainers and doctors were kind of shuffling through this, like, tunnel area back here near the locker room. Mike Dunleavy was in and out. And Jimmy Butler was on the opposite side of the arena when I got to kind of the locker room area. And it's probably like a 100-yard walk, and he was going, like, 0.1 mile an hour. It probably took him, you know, 6 minutes to get 100 yards or whatever. He was really gingerly walking, you know, obviously favoring that tail bump. Got an x-rays, but from what I understand, it's not like the most modernized x-ray situation here, especially, you know, considering the Warriors staff. They're going to get him back to the Bay Area. I think, you know, as Steph mentioned, when he had the hairline fracture, that was something they had to find, like, through some, like, more, you know.
Yeah, that is the... You know, the bad news side of it, if it's hairline fracture, which maybe can't be picked up by the x-rays here, I was told that it's likely not made. Like the x-rays here could have picked up something major, but maybe not a hairline. I don't know. And that the MRI can give you the details. And I've been told that Butler's flying out tonight. Steam's staying over tonight. They'll fly back tomorrow. But to get Butler back, to get the MRI, to make sure he's not sleeping on it, and then he's got to take a flight. He's probably flying out right now, and we'll get the MRI in the Bay Area tomorrow.
Yeah, and,
there's nowhere they can get an MRI out here?
Well, I'm sure you could in the Houston,
morning, so, like, that would delay.
Sleeping on it is probably not as bad as flying on it.
Yeah, it's bad no matter what, right?
You're flying anyways. Yeah. Also, like, I will say there seemed to be a level of optimism that this isn't some, like, deep, dense, long-term thing. It's going to be a pain tolerance thing. And then you look recently, Steph missed two games because of a similar crash to the floor. Kuminga missed one. And from what I was told, Jimmy Butler did this 2 years ago and missed about three regular season games. And, you know, considering the way you push to play playoff games, he probably is going to have to play with one of those Steph Curry butt pad type things. I don't think you're going to not see him too long. Now, if he's unable to go in game three, that's a major deal, and that could swing a series. Tonight may have been swung by the fact that he hurt his tailbone. But
they get the 2 days. This is where these 2 days are humongous for them. If there's any chance at all, he might be limited, right? He might not be the same guy. Of course, he got kicked in the thigh or whatever in the last game of the regular season, and then he goes for 37 in the play-in game. So he's tough guy, but these things are accumulating. He absolutely was not moving great. You could tell.
But I will say he moved better out of the arena. This would have been like 90 minutes later. He walked better out of the arena. It was not nearly as ginger of a walk.
Yeah, I mean, they need him. They need him. They need him if he's a little compromised. They need him if he can't, if it's not going to make it worse. And we saw it. Like, they are not the same team without Jimmy Butler. There is no question about it. They have nobody who can play that position. They have nobody who can fill that role. This is why they changed when they got him. And then we'll see. If they don't have Jimmy Butler, they're probably going to lose a game, and like they did tonight. And for as long as he's out, they're going to be really, really, really have a problem. But I think he's going to be back. But, exactly when and how good he is, we shall see. We did see that. John Kuminga is somebody who's going to have to play if Jimmy's out. John Kuminga is not the answer. He's not going to go, okay, now we have another Jimmy Butler. He's just not that. He hadn't been playing, so he was rusty. But he's a guy. You could play minutes, necessarily have to fall completely out of the rotation. Handle it well, as Kerr said and other players have said. But he's not close to Jimmy Butler. He's just a replacement level wing who could give them some athleticism.
Marcus?
Yeah, this Kuminga thing is going to be interesting, mostly because they just need somebody to get downhill. You know who got downhill today? Pat Spencer was the one guy. And, I'm curious how now, once they know a game plan, how they respond. But some of them dudes look like they did not want to drive. They're getting in a lane, pump faking, they're not going up. And with the way the Rockets are overplaying, you simply have to attack the paint. So Kuminga, this feels like how, like, he should get back into the rotation. This feels like his opportunity here. I mean, I don't know any more tailor-made scenarios.
Maybe. The problem, I think, it's so deep, it's so layered, it's so 4 years long. But it's just like, I think you see tonight him not wanting to come out and make mistakes and not wanting to be, give reasons why, he went in and he flubbed this. And, I feel like he's been sapped of his desire to go, bump around. And, maybe that's a problem. And again, if it's a 4-year problem, we're talking about an offseason problem. We're talking about stuff that we all know the history of. But maybe with 2 days, maybe going into a game knowing you're playing 20-something minutes.
Second game of two, not just the first one.
With a different game plan, sure, maybe there's more juice. But also,
it's not the answer. And even Kerr asked today, if you don't have Jimmy, is Kuminga the guy who's going to get more minutes? We'll have to think about it. We don't know. I mean, it's not top of mind for Steve Kerr. John Kuminga is not top of mind in any way. So he might get minutes, but then maybe they become those Guy Santos minutes.
I don't think they have any other options
here. Well, let's say Jimmy Butler plays.
If Jimmy Butler plays, then obviously that's the answer. But we all clearly watched Pat Spencer get in and do work, like what needed to be done. Who else is doing it?
maybe a healthier Pajemski is part of the answer, but they're overplaying everything. They're jumping every passing lane. Their hands are everywhere. They're simply asking you to drive to the hole. And in the hole waiting is Alperen Şengün, who can't block a shot to save his life. Why are you not driving? Pat Spencer comes in and immediately gets to the hole. Kuminga did. Immediately gets to the hole, missed the layup. Like, this is what they need. You know, so I don't know how you can keep running Gui Santos and
Moody only played 24 minutes. He was not there. I think that was part of it. He was not out. He was did not play for long stretches, which is surprising in a game without Jimmy Butler, right? I mean, Moses Moody played some of the same stuff. I think there's some, like, go do something. You got Şengün switched on you. Take him. Didn't happen a lot. GP2 is just not going to do it. You're right. I agree. This is the same thing we've been saying over and over again, especially against the athletic team. John Kuminga has scored, has had really good games against Houston. It's just not top of Kerr's mind. I think Kerr's essentially made a decision. He mightn't be forced to play him, but it's not like he's the answer in his mind. It's just not. And it will. There will be many more games of different play like this. I think it changes his mind of that.
Yeah, I mean, they need, like, the best revved up version of Jonathan Kuminga, motivated version of him. And again, maybe 2 days of knowing he is going to be playing would bring that out of him. But kind of thought he was floating a little bit tonight. And, you know, I think a lot of that is, like, he's been put on ice for 2 weeks, and it's beyond just like, oh, you know, I haven't stretched my basketball legs in a few weeks. It's he's been told, like, that the head coach doesn't think he's good enough to be in a playoff rotation. Like, that generally
4 years into his career here. Yeah. I mean, there is a sense of, I don't want to say finality, but it's a kind of conclusion. Like, this is kind of where they're at after 4 years, and he's a restricted free agent. So he's going to get – if Jimmy doesn't play – yeah, if Jimmy doesn't play or is limited, Kuminga has to play, right? You need some minutes. But I don't know that he's going to be the answer to anything. He just isn't, unless something is on – you know, something's coming that I cannot see, and I don't think Steve Kerr can see it.
So Quentin Post eventually got hot and made four threes and, you know, kept them at bay. But all they're doing is putting Jalen Green in a pick, you know, 1-5 pick and roll, and he's going to work on the big. Like, the answer to that is not put the big in there. Go small, go switchable at all five. Now, obviously, maybe Jalen Green doesn't go crazy again, but, like, maybe you just take that risk and say, yeah, put Quentin Post and Kevon Looney out there. Let Jalen Green cook, and maybe he goes 3-for-17 again. But, like, we just already have seen this answer before. We know what it is. Like, you got to be switchable, and you got to get downhill. Like, that's what it has to be. And the way they've OD'd on Steph, it's open. Like, Pat Spencer let everybody know, hey, the lane is open over here. Like,
Pat Spencer,
I mean, he just literally – he scored 9 points in, like, one stint. Yeah, like, it was – he's like, hey, y'all, this is open right here. But it just takes a little handle. It takes a little, you know, a little wiggle to get there.
Confidence. Like, you got to believe you're going to do it. And certain players on the Warriors do not believe they're going to do it. So it's kind of late in the game to say go have confidence in doing that if they don't have confidence in doing it. But you're right. Kuminga does. It's just not the way they decided to play. And I don't know. I mean, hey, it would be really good for them if they discover John Kuminga after all this time in year four at the end of everything. I find it hard to believe it's going to happen like that, though.
The other answer is just to get hot from three, right? Like,
yeah, for sure. You know what else? Like, they really miss Brandon Pajemski tonight.
Yeah.
They miss a good version of him. He was good in game one. He, you know, stomach bug, was sick all day, apparently.
Yeah, he was clear.
Questionable. Yeah, he had an air ball. Like, remember, he shot a hook that was, like, way over. Like, he tried to play. He left the court. I was back here trying to figure out the Butler thing, and then Pajemski walks by with the trainer. I'm like, oh, he's probably done for the night. He gets an IV at half. He comes back, plays for a few minutes. He just didn't have it. So, like, yeah, I mean, like, we would – he's been their fourth best player for a long stretch now, and, like, they just – so they didn't have their second and fourth best player tonight, you know. Pretty much the whole time. So that is a major problem.
Played Kerr 37 minutes, 20 seconds, which felt like a little bit. You understand why they're doing it. They didn't play him 40, but 2 days off. He was the only guy who could score. If you don't play him anymore, you are guaranteeing a loss. Essentially was lost anyway, but was down 11? Was down to 12? Like, I mean, I get playing him, but it was maybe like this wouldn't have been a terrible night to have Steph play 32. But it's not going to make it that big a difference with 2 days off. And I think he wants to play those minutes. I don't think he likes, you know, throwing up the white flag in the middle of, you know, early in the fourth quarter.
It was an increasingly tense environment. You know, again, Draymond said it post game, and I get the point that he said it wasn't as physical as game one. You're right. Game one was a lot of like Steven Adams and Sengun and rebound grappling. Tonight was more about these like dust ups and arguments and tense jump balls and chirping afterwards and towels being thrown. And there was a Jalen Green forearm that Draymond sold and got a flagrant on. But it's just this series does seem like it's tilting towards, you know, chippy, nastier when we get to San Francisco.
Yeah, you kind of expected that on a team with Draymond Green and Dylan Brooks, right? And Sengun mixes it up too, so you know you just know Draymond.
Ime Udoka.
Man, I mean,
Lee was in it tonight.
And Tari Eason, like. Remember, he was the guy who was talking and wasn't playing, and they were like, you can't talk while you're not playing.
That, not like that.
So, yeah, I mean, this we were always headed here. This is what it was going to be the entire time because that's who these people are. Like, it's going to get chippy. And also, Houston needs to win. That's the way they win. They need to turn this into a brawl and ruin the beautiful game of the Warriors and get in their heads. Like, that's how they got to win. And their best way is to get Draymond to do something crazy. Worked a little bit.
What'd you think of Draymond's night?
I think he's getting a little three happy. but
Gardner, that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, again, just driving to make it happen. It's Alfred and Sengun. So I actually liked Draymond tonight, just being the goon out there, because I don't know, the way they're guarding Steph, like, you just got to fight back. You just can't allow that to happen. So he was pretty goony tonight.
And I thought he was relatively controlled within it. There wasn't the over the top. I mean,
he could have got thrown out could have done something to get thrown out very easily. They would have looked for it. He got the tech, but that was just kind of like a shake off, right? That wasn't a big deal. But the Van Vliet thing, he could have easily got the second tag. He relatively calm through that. And Tari Eason gets a technical for throwing a towel in the service. So I don't think that one was going to get out of control. The FU Draymond pissed off Steve Kerr a little bit, but I think Draymond doesn't mind that. I don't think he minds that. It tells him that the crowds, you know, they're looking at me. They care about me.
He's like pushing people off. Yeah, he's like, get off me. He's doing all that little stuff.
Yeah. I did hear, this will be in the standard tomorrow a little bit, but the Van Vliet Draymond thing was Van Vliet telling Draymond, you better pray Jimmy's back. That's what it was, with a lot of other words in there. So that's the series now. It's Jimmy Butler. That's been their season. Exactly. It's the season of the Warriors, and even the Rockets are saying. So what, you know, it's, I know he doesn't mean this, but you could say the implication is you're going to win if you have Jimmy Butler. But if you don't have Jimmy Butler, we're going to win. For a team that has Steph Curry on it, that's a pretty amazing thing to kind of have floating out there. But that's what kind of the jabber was late in the game, was you better pray Jimmy's going back.
I mean, the point is they're saying the same thing team said before Jimmy Butler. Like, we just don't have any confidence in the rest of your guys.
They're saying the same thing Mike Dunleavy said at the deadline.
Exactly. Like, yeah, no. If y'all have to score, oh, we're just going to throw three at Steph and you're not –
They weren't saying, uh-oh, you got Dennis Schroeder. Uh-oh.
I feel very bad that De'Anthony Melton got hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Too bad that happened to you.
That's what he's saying. To me, the only part about Draymond that was bad tonight was his passing. I mean,
yeah, like, early in the game, it was all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, after
Steph, too. Steph threw that one in the crowd.
Steph and Draymond passes.
That's
the
pressure defense they're trying to make.
I get it for Steph. Like, I understand it, even though he's got to be better about it. But Draymond is trying to cram passes into traffic
He's having those really bad nights passing is the ones where he sees where, like, Moses Moody, for example, should cut, sees that Moses Moody isn't cutting, and throws it there anyway so he can be like, Moses, you were supposed to be there. It's like, could also not pass it.
Or it's like Buddy Hield is cutting into the middle where the trees are. Yeah, it's like, okay, even if he gets it, what is he doing? Like, he had a lot of those tonight.
The Warriors always have lots of those, so that's their specialty.
Well, that's how they're definitely going to lose to this team if they do that. Out-rebounded 47-33 or so. You have the numbers. It was they've been out-rebounded by 33.
33 to 47, yeah, you're correct.
14. Like, what are they winning in this series? All right.
Probably from three. I mean, like, you know, the Rockets shot horribly.
It was closer tonight, though.
Probably better free throw percentage, yeah, to tell you that. Houston is not a good free throw shooting.
No, Warriors not. Missed half there tonight, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, Warriors can't, like, they're really struggling to score against this team.
They have all year. That's what it is. But we knew the reasons why before, because they're just going to take Curry away and make other guys beat you. So we know that. And basically, they're back to that. The difference is there's no Andrew Wiggins. Like, that's what you're seeing. If Jimmy's not playing, you've got the original problem, but with no Wiggins. And it's going to be even harder. And some of these guys just haven't been in this. They just have not been in this situation before. Steph's been there. Draymond's been there. Looney's been there. Brandon Podziemski.
Moody started some games in the 22 playoffs.
Not he never played with, you got to get 15. Like, you got to get 15 and guard Jalen Green. Yeah, Pods has never played like this, where it's like, yeah, you can't
be. Quinn Post had some pretty fucking big games at Boston College, so I don't know if you could put him in there.
Quinn Post pretty good tonight. Hit 4 threes.
He was good afterwards, after it was too late. He missed his first five.
Kurt is playing him. Like, he is playing him. And he's just looking for those threes, and they got him late.
Much better than he was in game one. He wasn't good in game one.
Yeah, it took him a minute to get going. Once he got going, it was a problem. But, I mean, he's just giving it right back defensively. It's the tough trade-off that they've got to manage somehow. Like, even Draymond is yelling at him. He's, for some reason, his instinct is to play the drive when they're just clearly saying, don't let the guy shoot the three. But he's still backing up and giving them space to shoot and biting off every little jab step. But you just got to take away the three. The only way this team beats you is if they make threes. Just don't let them shoot the threes. That's what they're doing with Steph Curry.
Pretty late, guys.
Yep. Okay, two off days of rest and recovery for Jimmy Butler will play probably the biggest factor as the series shifts to San Francisco. We will talk to you after game three.